Do more guns mean more suicides? In President Obama's State of the Union address, he called on Congress to pass new gun control legislation. According to the most recent report on gun deaths by the Centers for Disease Control, two-thirds of all U.S. gun deaths in 2010 were suicides. Two-thirds. A recent Harvard University study found that suicide acts with a gun are fatal 85% of the time. And the national suicide rate has climbed by 12% over the last decade. Suicide is the third leading cause of death for teenagers. So is there a connection between firearms in the home and suicides? If there were fewer guns, would there be fewer suicides? Well, Mark Rosenberg is the president and CEO of the Task Force for Global Health. It's a nonprofit public health organization. Before that, he was director of the Center for Disease Control's National Center for Injury Prevention and Control. Mark, thanks so much for joining us.
My pleasure, Ross. This is an important topic.
If there were fewer guns, would there be fewer suicides, Mark?
We have every reason to believe that yes, if there were fewer guns, there would be fewer suicides. Because when there is a gun in the home, the risk of suicide to someone in that home goes up beyond what you would believe. It doesn't only go up by 50% or 60%. It does more than double, it does more than triple, more than quadruple. It goes up 500%. It's a huge, huge risk for suicide to have a gun in your home. That plus other more broad correlations that show there's a relationship between the number of guns in a state and the suicide rate for that state. All of this is evidence suggesting that, yes, if there were fewer guns available, there would be fewer suicides.
Well, here's the part of that argument that I don't quite get, Mark. Japan has a higher suicide rate than we do in the United States. They have many fewer guns than we do. It would seem that they would have a lower suicide rate because they don't have as many guns, if it's true that guns in the home lead to more suicides.
Well, countries differ, people differ, and conditions differ, so that different countries have different suicide rates. The question that you'd have to study is if you reduced access to whatever is the most common lethal means of suicide, if you reduced access, say, in China, the leading cause of suicide are pesticides. So in China, you would ask the question, if you reduced access to pesticides, would that reduce the suicide rate? And there are places in China where they have done this, and the suicide rates came down. For Japan, you'd have to ask, what is the leading means of suicide? And if you reduced access to that, would that bring the suicide rate for Japan down? And if you looked in the U.S. and you saw that the leading means of suicide were guns, then you'd have to ask, if you reduced access to guns, would that bring the suicide rate down? But in general, science has shown that reducing access to the means of suicide reduces the suicide rate.
How do we know that someone who is determined to take their own life won't figure out another way to do it if they don't have access to a gun?
Well, it turns out that there are different types of conditions that lead one to commit suicide. So sometimes people are chronically depressed. They've been depressed for a long time. They've tried many ways to solve that problem and have not been successful in feeling better. So those people, if you take away the access to one means, might end up trying something else. However, there's a large population in our country, namely young people, who are very impulsive. And for a lot of suicides, they are impulsive suicides, meaning that the person has been considering suicide for a very short period of time, nothing like months or weeks or even days. In some studies, they have found that people who attempted very serious suicides were considering suicide for less than 5 minutes. So let's step back and see what that means. It means if there's a young person and all of a sudden they get terribly upset or angry and they say, I'm going to kill myself right now. If they have access to a gun, and they can get that quickly, then they have the means and they have the impulse, and that's a fatal combination. If when they have the impulse, they don't have access to the means, then that impulse is very likely to pass. So this would make you think, if you had young people and you didn't give them access to guns when they were suicidal, then the impulse might pass and they wouldn't commit suicide. So some researchers looked and found out what happens if you institute a waiting period so that when people want to rush out and buy a gun because they're suicidal, you make them wait. You make them wait a week before they can get a gun. What does that do to the suicide rate? And what they found was that the suicide rate decreases significantly when there's a waiting period. So there's a lot of scientific evidence to suggest that reducing access reduces at least impulsive suicide significantly.
So a wait period, one gun control measure that you think might reduce suicides. Are there other ones? We've talked about in this state, there's a debate right now about universal background checks. There are many other measures that are out there as forms of gun control. Are there any that are particularly good, do you think, at preventing suicides by gun?
Well, let me say that the problem is not gun control per se. Reducing access to lethal means or reducing access to firearms is one way to prevent firearm injuries and deaths. But the problem that we're really addressing is preventing firearm injuries and deaths. Reducing access to firearms is just one way we need to look at. There are other ways that may be better treatment of people with mental illness, better and more effective, more rapid treatment of depression, for example, identifying people who are suicidal and watching them, giving them care very early on. Changing the culture so that it's a more supportive culture and one that doesn't encourage violent acts. There are lots of ways to prevent firearm injuries and deaths. And when people use the word gun control, they're narrowing in on one very small part of the solution. And I think it's really important because in our efforts to reduce firearm injuries and deaths, we have another equally important goal. And that goal is to protect the rights of legitimate gun owners. So we're trying to do two things at the same time. We're trying to prevent firearm suicides, and we're trying to protect the rights of legitimate gun owners. We're trying to accomplish both things at the same time, and that's what makes it tricky. That's what makes it hard. You can think of someone, I have a friend with a tumor, and it's a terrible cancer, a rapidly growing tumor, and we wouldn't need any more research on cancer chemotherapy if all we wanted to do was stop his tumor, because we have a lot of cancer drugs. The problem is they're very toxic, and they may stop the tumor, but they may also damage his kidneys or damage his liver or damage his heart. So with cancer, we're trying to do two things at the same time. One is stop the growth of the cancer, but second, we're trying to protect the health and well-being of the patient.
And likewise, with gun control measures, we're trying to accomplish two things, legitimate rights
and
to a gun.
And that makes it tricky.
Right. Hey, thank you so much for your time, Mark. I really appreciate it.
You're very welcome. Thanks.
Mark Rosenberg, he was director for the Center for Disease Control's National Center for Injury Prevention and Control. Now he is president and CEO of the Task Force for Global Health. It's a nonprofit public health organization. One of our continuing series of discussions about gun measures, proposals, will they work, won't they work? Coming up next week on Tuesday, we're going to talk to someone from the National Rifle Association to get their take on this.